May is a very busy time for our family. There's a grand total of 5 birthdays that happened this month, along with an anniversary. So I'd like to ask a question. Age is just a number, right? Wrong. It's a word. Oh, come on. A little dad joke. What has age got to do with it? This process that God has put into place is very unique. It's one that we should stop and think about at times, because it's easy to miss the intricacies. We are born, we live, we grow, we change physically, mentally, we go through ups and downs, we decline at times, we go up at times. We retain our knowledge, our thoughts, and we have our minds. As we start to get older, being 37, not quite old yet, there's a couple people here that are about to hit another rounded number. But, you know, as we start to get older, we start to realize the limitations and the unique experience of living in these bodies. We each have our own problems, our own oddities, things that are happen to just us. We have young people. We have middle-aged people. We have older people. And so I thought it would be fun to go through the Bible and see where God talks about age, how he considers it to be important. And I love the fact that God includes people's age in the Bible, because it gives context to the stories. It helps us to understand what these people were going through. You know, Moses at 40 was in the desert. He was tending sheep. So he thought. And then, oh no, take that back. Nope, I have that wrong. At 40, he left Egypt. And then he was tending sheep till 80. So see, got another 10 years, Mr. Link. At least. But as we read the stories in the Bible and we go along our paths as we continue to get older, it's easy to put yourselves in other people's shoes, to find their experiences, and to be able to relate with them. Now, I wanted to start with the oldest mentioned, not a person, but the oldest mentioned in the Bible. Does anyone want to take a guess who that is? No, you weren't listening. I said the oldest, not the person, mentioned in the Bible. And that is God. And of course, Christ. We know the Bible states that God and Christ are without beginning and without end. Very hard thing to think about, to put your mind around. To think that our opportunity is to come to become God beings and have that same, I don't want to call it fate, but that same opportunity to live forever. It's also something that's very hard to wrap our head around. But that is what God has called us to become in his family. You know, in the hustle of life, I was thinking about this. It's easy to say a prayer or think about something related to God in a quick way and then go on about your day. But I think we should really take the time to think about the majesty that is God's and all the things that he has done for us, all the amazing things that are around us, from the tiniest things that we don't see to the large things that we can see. Everything has been created by God, and it has a purpose. It's truly incredible to think about. Turning to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9 and 10, I'm going to read this from the NIV version, New International Version. Daniel 7, and beginning in verse 9, says, I saw thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Now Daniel saw this in vision. But what a scene to behold. To think that God is sitting on his throne now with this type of setting is something that we should hold in our minds as we live our lives. Not all the time, but to think about that every once in a while, to realize how powerful God is, how majestic he is, how real he is. And I thought this would be a good way to start this message because it puts God center and focus in our lives. We heard from Mr. Mike Link that we are to be seeking first righteousness, to be seeking first the kingdom of God, which includes what we just read here. God's creation, his plan, his people, his family, everything is in God's hands. It's in his order. So now let's go on and talk about some other old people in the Bible. We can talk about Noah or Methuselah. Earlier someone said Methuselah was the oldest person in the Bible. True. But Noah was 950 years old when he died. What changed during his time on the earth? Think about what's changed in the last 50 years. Now, thinking just back from myself, I can think back from when I was 13, 12, somewhere in there, the internet started to come along. And in that little bit of time, what an amazing thing it's become, right? 50 years ago, people had radios, black and white TVs. Now we have these TVs that are razor thin, weigh just about nothing, and full of color. So much has changed in a short time span. The people during those days, they lived a long time. And it's another interesting to think about how God created the human body to live that length of time. Thankfully, we don't live that long today. I can't imagine having to live that long. But you turn 100, you'd be like, whew, I still got another 800 years to go. It's a long time. Now, God says now in Genesis 6 and verse 3 that at most, people have around 120 years, give or take. I already mentioned Moses, but he reached 120 years old. At 40, he left Egypt. At 80, he went back. Very life-altering in both circumstances. But that's, as Mr. Link was pointing out earlier, maybe Moses thought that his life was set at 40, right? He goes, so he's going to retire and tend sheep for the rest of his life. Not quite what God had in mind for him. Read about Jacob or Israel in Genesis 47, verses 6 to 10. And it says, then Joseph brought his father Jacob and had him stand in front of Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? Jacob answered Pharaoh, the length of my stay on the earth has been 130 years. The years of my life have been few and difficult, fewer than my ancestors' years. And then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and left. And then he went and lived to 147. All fairly old men, but unique to think about their lives, to realize that God led them on their journey. So now I wanted to talk about a couple steps in our lives. And we'll start at the end of the spectrum, being a little bit older. You know, I'd say that one of the biggest things that we should do is to respect our elders. In this world, I don't think that it gets enough attention. There's something to be said about those of us who are a little bit older, who have gone through life, who have seen things, experienced things, and continue to work at this way of life. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31, it says, Proverbs 16:31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory, if it is found in the way of righteousness. That is a caveat. Found in the way of righteousness. It's challenging to continue to remain righteous throughout the years. But this is the way. And so God gives us this direction for us. If we continue in this way of righteousness, then we will earn respect. Notice in Job 32 and verse 9, it says, the great men or men of many years aren't always wise, nor do the elderly always understand justice. So there's a dichotomy there between those who can do righteousness, understand justice, and those who don't. Leviticus 19 and verse 32 says, you shall rise or show respect before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. It's easy as a younger person to have self-importance, self-confidence, to think you know everything and feel invincible. Maybe to think that older people don't know anything about this new way of life. Maybe they don't understand what you're going through. But this is not what God says. Just the opposite. So the respect that is due to those who are older is quite evident, hopefully. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with all purity. In verse 17 of 1 Timothy 5, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And we just had our ministerial conference, and I walked away this time thankful for the wisdom and the leadership that was shown. The tenacity to stick to the truth, the breadth of knowledge, and the years of experience were very much appreciated. And it's something that's very hard to replicate. The opportunity to do God's work, it falls upon each of us. As we're willing, as we have the capacity to do so, from the smallest things to things like having to preach and write articles and Q&As. But the more active we stay in God's work, the more we will be led by Him, the more we can accomplish together. So I just wanted to say thank you to all the ministers for those who participated. And can say as the youngest that I can look up to you all. Now God cares, brethren, for all of those who are getting older. God doesn't leave anyone out. In Isaiah 46 and verse 3 and 4, he says, Isaiah 46, 3, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb even to your old age. I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." Beautiful. In Psalm 71 and verse 9, it is written, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." In verse 18, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." Sometimes we make fun of people getting older, but I think in God's eyes, it's a wonderful thing. It's hard, sure, but not without its reward. All right, now you middle-aged people. Well, if 120 years is what God, give or take, gives us, then 40 is just the one-third mark, right? So life has really just started. Don't worry, I'm a couple years behind. Christ was in his mid-30s at the time of his death. But the impact that he left on the earth was phenomenal. Midlife is really where the spiritual battles are being fought. It's where we need to be mightily careful in our ways. It's where we need to be honing our skills and continuing on with our relationship with God and with others. It's where we learn how to truly show love and to continue to grow the capacity for love with God and with our fellow human beings. This is a stage where we are no longer children. It took me a long time to feel like an adult, I would say well into probably my early 30s. Paul puts it very well in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, he says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Here is where we use our minds and our hearts in growing closer to God to learn how to use his Holy Spirit more, to help guide us and to help us plot a course through this world. Thinking about this also made me think about what James tells us in James 1 and verse 2 through 4. And reading this from the NIV, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Maturity only comes through going through life, through facing hard things. You know, having that outlook and realizing that this is part of the journey, it should lead us back to God. It should make us realize that without his help on our way, it's going to be even harder. It's humbling to think about. I'd like to turn to Job 32. I've always found this chapter interesting. Job 32. This is talking about one of Job's friends, and his name is Elihu. "So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes." So these three friends of Job couldn't persuade him. They couldn't get through to him. "Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzirite, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job, his wrath was aroused against, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had not found no answer and yet condemned Job. Now because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. So he was being respectful. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of the three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore I say, listen to me, I also will declare my opinion. Indeed, I waited for your words, I listened to your reasoning while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention to you, and surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words. Lest you say, we have found wisdom, God will vanquish him, not man. Now he has not directed his words against me, so I will not answer him with your words. They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them, and I have waited because they did not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. I also will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone. Let me not flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away. Obviously, God was working through Elihu here. As middle-aged people, I think we should have respect, be careful what we say, but we have to have our reliance on God. We have to know what we stand for. We have to be continuing to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we can stand up and we can take our place as old people as time marches on. Which leads me to the next part, which is children. And we all start out as children, but this stage is so short. And it might feel like a long time for the kids, but man, does it fly fast for the parents. And it's a wonderful thing that God has created when it comes to children. It's fun to watch them grow, to watch as they mature and become people, who they are going to be as they grow up. It's such a wonderful experience. And it alters you as a human being, as a parent, to have children, to have a hand in helping them to grow, to lead them through the various stages of life. Similar to how God wants to lead us as we go through the stages of our lives. But children, there are a few things that I think you need to understand, especially as you continue to grow older. This is not really so much for the small children, though some of it applies. Mr. Link already pointed out that it is God who calls us, who foreknew us. But God actually started that process well before you were even a baby. God chose for you and I to be born. Those of you who are born into the church, those whose parents have come into the church, those children are set apart. A special category. And the blessings that come from this are truly incredible. You know, examples of God saying that he knew people from early times include David, who said that God knew him from his mother's womb. Samuel was called at a very early age. Jeremiah was scared because he was young, and God gave him an incredible calling to have to go through. Christ was learning and asking questions, even from the people that were teaching at a very young age. The state of childhood, especially as you reach your early teen years, becomes so important because there is so much to becoming an adult. The stage of childhood to adulthood is challenging, it's rocky, it's stressful. There's so much that's changing. Your mind, your body, your peers, your relationships, how you interact with the world, those are all changing. But there are a few things that can really help you as you grow. One of the ones, I think, is your relationship with God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" God is the Father above all fathers, the one who cares, the one who sees everything, who knows everything, and who provides help and strength and encouragement as you continue on your journey. It's imperative that children learn the habit of prayer, learning how to have a relationship with God so that they can continue this, so that they can see where God helps them. Another area is respect for parents. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Proverbs 23 and verse 22, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 to 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Having respect for your parents is something that is lacking in society these days. And it's easy to see the consequences that are happening. Fights in school, disrespectful to teachers, and it just carries on into society as you grow older. Now, God is very serious about showing respect for your parents. It's not something to be taken lightly. The third part to this, I think, is character. You know, the Bible states that foolishness is in the heart of a child. Childhood is an important part of life. But you can't stay in this stage forever. You have to learn to mature. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11 and 12 from the NIV, it says, "Even small children are known by their actions. So is their conduct really pure and upright? Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both." In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "A poor But wise youth is better than an old but foolish king who can no longer accept correction. The former can come out of prison to reign, while the latter, even if born to a kingship, may become poor. I observed everyone who lives and walks on the earth, along with the youth, who will take the king's place. It's important, as you continue to grow, to realize that your character is a part of who you are, what you do, whether right or wrong. And it's so important to learn how to choose the right path. Even as adults, it's hard at times to choose between the right and the wrong paths, right? When you have a relationship with God, though, He will help you to understand and to figure out the right and the wrong path. If you don't have understanding, then ask God for wisdom. Ask Him for understanding. Growing up at this time is very hard. It's very challenging as we live in a world that is going the way of Satan. Everything is being twisted. Everything is being misused. And that doesn't just get put on the adults. It gets put onto you children. And it can become a part of your character if you're not on guard, if you're not careful. You know, a parent can only be with you so much in a day. At certain parts, you're going to have to stand up for yourself. You're going to have to take what you've learned and apply it. And the last section I have is ourselves, a collection of it all. What is important in the time frame that we have? We all go through different stages in our lives, kind of like the passing of seasons. Each is marked with new things, new challenges, new problems to go through and overcome. We all learn, we all grow. We are all working on this path of becoming who God needs and wants us to be, so that we can become God beings. Everyone's path is different. Everyone's experience varies. But God is faithful. In Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14, it says, Psalm 92, 12, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." Turning over to Psalm 71, this chapter really encapsulates everything that I've been talking about. From the flow of youth to becoming old. So I want to read it and to think about how it fits into our lives. Where we are at in our journeys. Realizing that there is more ahead still. Psalm 71. "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually." There's no stop. "You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God. Oh my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you." I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the days, for I do not know their limits, and I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God, who is like you. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O God, my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue shall talk to your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. Young, middle-aged, old, doesn't matter. What matters is that we continually, look to God in all the things that happen in our life. Now, God does care about our age. He cares about us at all the different stages in life that we are all going through. One is not preferential to the other. It's just a part of life. The opportunities to seek him and to continue in his way is incumbent upon all of us. So let's not let each other down. Let's all continue pursuing this way of righteousness, this way of life, so that no matter what age we reach, it'll be the age that God wants us to reach, the one which he can do the most with us and through us.